Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Get ready. Hart and Cattles are about to go live on your radio, covering Boston sports and beyond. And it all starts right now. Hart and Cattles on EEI.
I think Marcus Smart is the most important person on that team. Every single time that guy gets into the game, every single time, he immediately makes an impact on the game.
You know what you sound like?
Don't.
Green teamer.
Oh, like your green teamer.
You sound like all those... You don't appreciate the little things. Average Al is the most important player on this team. Defensively, he can stop anybody. He can stop them all.
Continue it on the flip side.
Who else to make those plays besides Marcus Smart?
Plus, the thing that I picked up.
You know, maybe one day, Andy Hart, Hart and Cattles, Sports Radio WEI, maybe one day I will do a show with Lou Maloney. And I think if we end up talking about Marcus Smart, that is going to be a cage fight. That is going to be a knock him out, drag him out kind of situation between Lou and I. Because I am a Marcus Smart guy. I am through and through. I tweeted out a video last night at Nick C Radio. That one possession when Marcus was defending Van Vliet. And he fought through two screens. He shut down Van Vliet on the baseline. He then followed Van Vliet through another couple of screens. And then the ball is stripped away by Wanamaker. And Smart dives on the floor. And he gets it to Wanamaker. Like, I'm sorry. I am a winning plays guy. I'm a hashtag winning plays guy. And I embrace that. Because Marcus Smart is, I don't know if he's the most important Celtic. I would disagree with that. But he is one of the most important Celtics.
I would agree. See, I'm somewhere probably between the two of you. I find Lou fascinating because, no, I do.
Really?
Because Lou is a lot like me. Like, I have always been drawn to elite athletes, freaks. You know, I think it started when I was, whatever, 8, 9 years old and realized what Bo Jackson was. And, like, Bo, to me, is the greatest athlete that's ever walked the planet. He was my idol. He's probably the only athlete that, if I met him, I would act like a fan around.
Yeah, freak's the right word with Bo.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I think mine started with that. Then I loved Shaq. I was a huge Shaq fan because people forget when he came into the league, he was a freak of an athlete. He wasn't the fat old guy you remember later in his career. He could do almost anything he wanted. Those early, go back and watch early Shaq NBA All-Star games when he was going through his legs.
But
in the All-Star games, he looked like a modern point guard. Like, he's going through his legs. He's bringing it down the court because it's an All-Star game. No one cares. Like, he's just having fun. And people, so that's what I love. And I think Lou loves that, too. And I find it a little strange in the irony of Lou Maloney made it to the major leagues. Great accomplishment. But he was what he was, right? He was a backup, a utility Lou, whatever you want to call him.
He got the most out of his talent.
Yes. And now as a sports analyst and as a fan, he's more like me. He's drawn to the freaks. He wants the superstars, the athletes, the bombs, the muscle.
Hold on. You're drawn to the freaks, but last week you're telling me how much you hate Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I didn't say that it was always consistent.
Who was literally nicknamed the Greek freak.
Yes, and I hate him. And it's okay. I have lots of layers. I'm nuanced, as the libs would like to say it in this day and age, right? So there's layers to it. But I get into this with a lot of things. Like, I've watched the Patriots for years where there's a lot of great players that were great because they were on the Patriots surrounded by great talent.
Yeah.
And who, you know, I always say this. Who's Batman? Who's Robin? Because Robin by himself, no one gives a rat's ass about.
Yeah, so Jason Tatum versus Smart. You know, yes. that's kind of
Batman
the...
or wants to be Batman.
Right.
Robin. Because if you take Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown off the Celtics, you know what you have?
You've got Robin.
Yeah. And you know what? How many times has Robin been remade, the movie? Because I know Batman's been multiple remakes and trilogies and actors. And you know what? Every time they put a Batman movie out, how many people go... Millions of people go line up. It makes a half a billion or $1 billion, and everybody loves it, except for the Justice League, because that sucked. But that's a different topic for a different day. So Marcus Smart is a really good complementary player, right?
Yes, he is.
His role, he's great.
But his role
requires stars around him.
But here's the thing, and I don't want to get too lost into Marcus, because I want to talk about last night's just absolute beatdown of the Raptors, which I think is a big game. It was absolutely a big game. I said it was a big game before it happened. If they lost, I would have said it's a big loss. The way that they came out and played last night, huge win for that team.
Yes.
Especially seeing how they've played early on in the bubble. However, just to finish up the Marcus Smart stuff, I think the issue here is that nobody who is in, well, I shouldn't say nobody. There are some people who build up Marcus to the point where they talk about him like he's an all-star. I don't think people necessarily do that most of the time, though. They just appreciate the player he is. And for some reason, the people that are against Marcus or don't love Marcus, however you would want to frame that with Lou, you know, they almost get offended if you compliment Smart, which makes no sense to me. The guy, he is everything you want a player to be.
Well, that's not true.
Well, I'm saying,
because you know what I would want? I would want somebody who plays defense and plays with attitude and toughness like Marcus Smart, but right. also can score me 35 game.
Okay, so I was going to finish. My point was, he's everything you want from a player as far as attitude and grinding it out and personality. And yeah, he might rub you the wrong way from time to time because he flops or he yes. argues something. But there's one thing that we know about Marcus Smart. He's going to play his ass off. Every single second he's on the floor, he's going to play his ass off. And in the NBA, which is seen as a diva game, you don't get a lot of those guys. So when you get one of those guys, he adds an element to your team that is critical. It is crucial. And it is absolutely relevant. So I agree with you. He's not a superstar. He's not Batman, as you put it. But is he important to this team? 100%. As far as the team, Andy, statement win. You know, last week we talked about the statement loss where they lost to the Bucks, but you felt pretty good about the loss because there were a lot of good things you could take from it.
They got porked by the refs.
Being absolutely porked. Porked. I mean, capital letters, bold, underlined.
That hateable freak.
Just yes. So, not hateable freak.
Yes, you said yes. You agreed.
For you. I thought you were going to say hateable refs.
I hate the freak more.
Statement win last night. Statement loss last week. Statement win last night. They beat the ever-loving bag out of the Raptors.
Yes.
And let's add some context to this. Toronto was playing their best basketball before last night's game. They were arguably the best team in the bubble since they resumed action. They were practically unbeatable. Everybody was talking about them this week nationally. They were talked about as, watch out for Toronto. They have a legit shot to win. And they do have a shot to win. But there was so much momentum for the Raptors, and there was so much doubt for the Celtics. Did I think that Wednesday night's game against the Nets was the end-all, be-all? No, the Nets suck. They have nobody. Blowing out the Nets is one thing. Blowing out the Raptors is completely different. And what I saw last night, Andy, is something that we haven't seen in a long time. Even going back before the shutdown and the suspension of play, that defensive urgency, intensity, and force. And that's what they did last night. They were moving their feet. They were contesting shots. They had busy hands. They were alert. They were watching backdoor cuts and paying attention to them. They were playing hard. They were playing with effort. And they were not giving Toronto an inch offensively.
And it's always a good sign when you make the opposing coach a meme in, like, the first quarter. Because that did you see that photo, that screen capture of Nurse early in the game with, like, his hands on his face, like, what the hell is going on here? It's over. Always a good sign. And I would also say they got whatever the start was, like, fast starts. And I know everybody says, you know, Belichick says that, you know, believe it or not, Andy, we always try to start fast. And but when you start fast in a basketball game and set the momentum, and whatever they went up the other night was the opposite of, what was it, the Heat game the other night with no Jimmy Butler. They went down early, and they kept playing catch up and would get close, but could never really dig out of the hole that they dug for themselves early. Well, in this game, they dug the Raptors a hole, then they pushed them in. It stepped on their head and pushed them deeper into the hole. No, this is a good, solid win. But I agree, this is where we can get into your guy, Coach Brad, that it's really irrelevant, right? This isn't going to play. It shows what you can do. It shows what you're capable of, because I have been a little bit critical of the way they've even not just performed in the bubble and even in the scrimmages or whatever they call them, the tune-up games prior, like the rotations and how much they played people. It was almost a little Cora-like Red Sox easing into things and not wanting to get, you know, anybody's minutes up too fast. That showed that maybe they are building in the right direction, and maybe Coach Brad did handle this properly, and that they're starting to pick up the momentum, because it was a, as you've said, an all-around butt-whooping of a legitimate title contender.
Hart and Cattle, Sports Radio WEEI on this Saturday morning. Yeah, it was a throttling. And, you know, when we talk about a team's ceiling, I think that's what we saw last night from the Celtics. That's their ceiling. Not only were they playing with urgency and energy and effort on the defensive end, they were also moving the ball on the offensive end. Man movement, ball movement, so crucial to this offense. We saw a lot of that. I mean, the Raptors are one of the best defensive teams in all of the NBA. They defend at the rim pretty well with their bigs. They defend the three ball really well. Nick Nurse does a great job of junking up defenses. They play, you know, 2-3 zones. They play man-to-man. They double guys. They trap people. They do all sorts of funky stuff. And so the Celtics, they walked into that game last night, and to me, it looked like they had heard all the noise, and they had read things, and they had been questioned by the media, and they knew that people were really going, you know, hard with the Toronto Raptors have a chance to win this whole damn thing. And what we saw was a focused team last night, and that has not been the case. And that wasn't the case before the suspension of the season. We forget they were not playing good basketball before COVID-19, before Rudy Gobert's positive test. They weren't playing good basketball. So last night was the first time in a while that you sat back and you watched that team and you could feel that belief again. Oh, this is what we've been talking about. This is the ceiling of this team. Brown playing well. Tatum playing okay. I don't even think he was great, but Tatum playing okay. Marcus doing what he does. You know, Robert Williams, all of a sudden the Time Lord. They've moved on from cancer the past couple of games, and I was screaming about this on late night during the week. Play Robert Williams. Play him a few minutes and see what you have. In two straight games, Williams has been very good. You can chalk it up to the Nets being the Nets the first time around, but last night he got an early check-in and he played well. And that's a guy who can defend at the rim. That's a guy who can bring energy by dunking on dudes' faces. And that is somebody that you can build off of. So I thought all around last night, and you know, we get on Stevens, Andy, and I will criticize people when they deserve criticism. That's how I handle it, okay? If you play great, I'm going to say that you played great. And if people want to say, oh, you're a honk, whatever. They played great. It is what it is. If they sucked, I'm going to come out and say that they sucked. I did it on late night after the Heat loss when it was an inexcusable loss. Gross. And a bad job by Stevens. But last night they played great, and I'll give Stevens credit because he called an early timeout in the third quarter, because after halftime, they came out looking like a different basketball team. And Stevens read that right away. Couple of buckets from Toronto. He called a quick timeout. He got into those guys. They came out of that timeout, Andy, like their ass was on fire. I don't know what he said during that TO, but it was actually a really good job of Stevens feeling and reading the moment and getting under the skin and making sure, hey, guys, we just played a great first half. That means nothing for the next 24 minutes.
And I think that's the card he was playing post-game, too, where he was very Belichickian in his comments about, yeah, this was great. Toronto didn't really shoot all that well. You know, that was part of the issue. That's how we got the big lead. But this is meaningless. This will mean nothing if we play them in a series down the road in a couple weeks. You know, you put this out the door. I would also say I would counter Christian Fourier's Marcus Smart take. And I don't know if I've told you this before. I'm a Jaylen Brown guy. I've always been a Jaylen Brown guy.
Yeah, I have been too.
I ride the roller coaster with him when I think, yeah, this is what I think he can be. And then he goes into a little bit of a quiet period and the ups and the downs and what I think his real ceiling is. I personally believe he is the most important Boston Celtic as you go on this postseason run, because Tatum's supposed to be your star, right? He's ascended to, he's your leader, he's your go-to guy, he is your top 10 player, if you believe he's gotten into that conversation yet. But I think when Jaylen Brown is competitive in that, and you're like, huh, I don't really know who their best player on the court is right now. Jaylen Brown's playing really well. That allows everybody else to fall into place. Now you can talk me into Gordon Hayward is a great player for his role, regardless of his paycheck. Marcus Smart is a great complementary player. But I think when Jaylen Brown gets in early foul trouble or is just having one of those nights where the shots aren't falling, the threes aren't falling, and he's kind of gets taken out of the game emotionally and physically early on, everybody else feels that pressure to step up.
Yeah.
And I don't think it works for them. I think he is. Now, maybe you could call him the true Robin to Batman's Tatum, and then everybody else falls into line as
he could be
Alfred.
A
and he could
end up being
See,
a Batman.
When you're at your best, you're saying, is he a Batman too? Are there two? You know, it's like the Spider-Man meme where they're pointing at each other. Do we have two Batmen on the Celtics? That's why I think he is their most important guy. And I've seen these things. Was it Colin Cowherd who ranked the duos in the bubble?
Oh, God.
And he had Tatum and Brown in at like third, maybe? As the third best duo in the bubble. And if that's the reality, if you believe that, and if you're a, you know.
What do you have? He had to have LeBron
and
AD and Kawhi and PG-13.
And then I think he had Tatum and Brown. And if they play to that level, you get a chance to win the NBA title. Because everybody else, I think you're supporting cast. Now you tell me Marcus Smart's important. You're damn right he's important, because you're telling me he's like your fourth or fifth best player. He's your energy guy. He's your defense guy. You get Gordon Hayward chipping in. Now you're a really good basketball. Oh, by the way, we haven't even talked about Kemba Walker, who's an all-star caliber player, right? I mean,
right.
See, that's why I think Jaylen Brown is that piece where if he slots in at two, now three is Kemba Walker, now four is Gordon Hayward, now five is Marcus Smart, now you're a really good basketball. So my guy, Jaylen, I call them the J team, you know.
Oh.
You like it?
The J Jaylen, team.
Andy, I hate to inform you, but Coward's list is actually Jason Tatum and Kemba Walker at number three.
Oh, that's not the list I saw.
Another thing about this list, he doesn't have Westbrook
and
Harden on it.
Oh, well, he's an idiot. Okay, like, forget the what? Stupid list. Forget Colin the stupid Cowherd. List. Let's focus on the J team.
Colin Cowherd. Let's just forget about Colin Cowherd's list. You know, I've said this before, and I'll say it again, Andy. A lot of attention has been paid to Jason Tatum. And listen, I get it. You should pay a lot of attention to Jason Tatum, because I think he'll be a top 10 NBA player for a long time if he's not there already. But because of so much attention being paid to Tatum, Jaylen Brown's improvement, which I think has been so significant, this guy he's improved by leaps and bounds from his rookie season. That's, you know, that's been flying under the radar because of so much attention to Tatum. People pay attention to Tatum, and sometimes they don't mention Brown. Brown has improved as much, if not more, than Tatum has, given where their floor was when they first got into the league. 617-779-7937. How are you feeling about the Celtics after last night's dominating win against the Raptors? 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. You can tweet at us at Jumbo Hart. And at Nick C Radio. We'll continue more Celtics talk. Of course, we got to do some Patriots talk. Bruins, there's a lot going on. More of Hart and Cattles coming up next on Sports Radio WEEI.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We're right back to Hart and Cattles on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
In the perfect spot. You know why he's in the perfect spot? Because nobody's talking about him. No, he's not back anymore. He's just there. He just exists.
So we had that discussion the other day.
What discussion?
And it, like, who's more important? And the way I looked at it was more important for the success of this team throughout this playoffs. And I think it is Hayward over Marcus Smart. That was the discussion.
Please. Hayward is this is so
he's an unknown.
He is the softest puppy poop.
Because he's an unknown.
He's soft, but if weak.
He's been good. He's been good these two games. If he can play at a different level, or the level that we're accustomed, you know, we always say Gordon Hayward's back. Gordon Hayward's back. If he could be back for 2 months, then I think that elevates your team to a different level.
All right. In a couple of minutes, I'm going to go after Christian Fourier. Oh, what he just said is crap. Crap. Absolute crap. I don't know how you can call somebody soft when they come back from a shattered ankle like Hayward did. So I don't know how you can call somebody soft or weak. I'm gonna just absolutely dismantle Christian Fourier's Hayward take piece by piece. I'm going to do that in a couple of minutes.
He's the softest puppy poop. Because,
yeah, but we'll see what happens. In a couple of minutes, I'm just going to absolutely take that apart from
Quick
Fourier.
Question. Puppy poop softer than average dog poop? How's that work?
It's an interesting question. I'm not sure. Puppies, he should have went baby poop.
Yeah.
Baby poop would have been good.
Yeah, it's like baby poop. Same thing.
Or like Andy Hart's poop after a night of Mexican.
What? Oh, come on.
That's just liquid.
Thanks for that visual. That's
just some poor form, Andy.
I have IBS.
Hart and Cattle Sports Radio WEEI on a Saturday morning. Let's first, before I go after Fourier a little bit, let's go to Tarek. He wants to talk about the Celtics.
You guys threw me off my game with the last comp. But, all right, let me ask you a question. In 06, the Heat championship team, who was the best player on that team? Dwayne Wade, right? Scored like 39,000 points a game. Okay. But who was the most important? Who was the leader of that team, though? Do not say Dwayne Wade. He was a young kid asked to be himself, and no pressure was on him. The pressure was on Shaq, who couldn't keep his mouth shut, right?
Yep.
I'm going to go get me a new Robin. But that's Shaq's MO, right? Let me take all that pressure on me so you guys can just do your thing. That means Kemba Walker and Gordon Hayward are the most important pieces in the bubble. And I don't mean they're going to be your best players, because right now JB and JT can just – if they're allowed to just flourish and go and just play and not let the pressure mount on them as far as expectations – I think we'll be fine. But the older guys from 27 and up, they're going to have to be like when emotions run high, they have to get us back in, you know, in under wraps. And I think you're going to see the vets that we play against in the playoffs. They're going to throw a lot at Jason and a lot at JB, especially when you get into if you get to see any of these guys in the West, they're crafty and you're going to need leadership at that point to calm us down. You know what I mean?
Well, no. Tarek, thanks for the phone call, bud. I appreciate it. Here's the thing I would say, though. I mean, we've seen both Tatum and Brown play playoff basketball.
Yes.
We saw when they were the guys, when Kyrie was hurt, when Hayward didn't play that year when he first got here. We saw Jason Tatum. Let's not forget about him dunking on LeBron James in the game seven. We saw these guys come from within, you know, one quarter of going to the NBA finals without the veteran leadership and the veteran help. And as a matter of fact, I still think that loss was on Stevens because for some freaking reason, after Tatum dunked on LeBron, he didn't touch the basketball for like the final 3 to 5 minutes of that game, which to me is one of the worst coaching jobs that I've seen. And I think Stevens is a good coach. I think he's a top five coach in the NBA. But game seven, you've got the momentum. You're on your home floor and you don't get Tatum the basketball with a chance to get to the NBA finals. That was one of the most boneheaded decisions that Stevens has made. But Andy, tell me if I'm wrong. Haven't we already seen these guys actually perform and understand that
they can
do that kind of a job and they can perform in those biggest games?
Yeah. I mean, it's a little like we talked about Cam Newton earlier. Like, I think he's prepared to compete. Now, I don't know how it'll play out. I think Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are now, we talked about it last week. I still think they're evolving. They're 22 and 23. They're still young stars. But they've been there. They've felt it's not their first postseason. It's not their first feeling the pressure. And now it's obviously going to be different in the bubble because there's no home crowd, road crowd. There's none of those factors that I think are massive factors in NBA playoff basketball. So I don't have a concern for them. But we're getting into, I guess what we're getting into here is it sounds like people have a lot of theories and ideas of sort of ranking the importance of the Celtics in the postseason or, you know, who the sneaky key player is or whatever this topic is. And we all bring, you know, Marcus Smart, Gordon Hayward, Jaylen Brown, you know, Tatum is what he is. He's your star. He's supposed to be the given. He should. I mean, if all goes to plan, Jason Tatum scores 28 plus a night, right? In the postseason.
Right.
Like
yep.
that has to be a given. If Jason Tatum isn't doing that, everybody else is scrambling to pick up the scraps, pick up, you know, what he's done. But everybody, you know, leadership, who's going to lead? Well, some of that's on Brad Stevens. That's why you have a coach. That's his job to motivate, to reel them in if they're getting mocked or jobbed or whatever by veteran players in the West, as the caller brought up. So if I'm ranking the important players, it's Jaylen Brown to me. And, you know, this whole Gordon Hayward, maybe I'm different because I've given up on Gordon Hayward being he won't even let me finish.
All right. I've had enough. I heard Christian Fourier say that he's not impressed by Hayward this week, calling him soft, calling him weak. You're done with Hayward. I'm sick and tired of people treating this guy like the redheaded stepchild of this team. I'm not even going to. Yeah. All right, Christian. I'm not even going to get into the idea of the role. We all know his role is different now than what he was brought in to do.
Yes.
He's the fourth option on this team. And you know what he is? He's ridiculously efficient as that fourth option. He's shooting just about 50% from the floor. He shoots just about 40% from three. He shoots better than 85% from the line. You know, when you look at his defense, analytically, when you look at it, I'm not going to try to glaze the eyes over of people listening. There's this statistic called defensive win shares. That's what GMs look at. They look at that number to tell you how good a guy is truly defensively. Do you understand that Gordon Hayward is a top 25 player in the NBA in that statistic? He's actually statistically better than Rudy Gobert, who is seen as the best big man defender and one of the best defenders in all of basketball. So Gordon Hayward is efficient. He scores the ball. He defends multiple positions on the floor. He also facilitates the offense when Kemba is out. He sets up Tatum. He sets up Brown. He sets up Kemba when he runs off multiple screens. He never bitches about his role. He never bitches about not getting the basketball. He almost always makes the right basketball play. I don't know. I have no earthly idea what people are expecting from this guy. In his current role, he could not play any better. He couldn't do it any better. On both ends of the floor, he's exactly what you want and what you need offensively and defensively. And by the way, if they didn't have Tatum and they didn't have Brown, I would guarantee you Hayward would be scoring 23 to 25 points a night. Because when you look at his shooting percentages, it tells you that if he took more shots, yes, those percentages would fall back a little bit. but he's still good enough and efficient enough to be a scorer at the NBA level. I'm not sure what people are looking for from this guy. I'm really not. He can play the first four positions, 1 through 4, on the floor for them, and he can shut down, you know, wings, and he can shut down guards. He runs that offense when they're in slumps. He's able to find the right man almost every single time the basketball is in his hands. He doesn't turn the basketball over very much. He doesn't commit stupid fouls, guys taking threes and stuff like that very much. I honestly, when I hear Fourier say that he's unimpressed, I would say you got to go back and watch the games again, Christian, and just pay attention to Gordon. And you've got to give him the benefit of the doubt, because I don't know. I have no idea, to my core, with every fiber of my being, Andy Hart, I have no idea how anybody can watch this Celtics team and walk away from watching this guy play and say that he's anything less than damn good for this basketball team.
You know what people look at first, right?
The contract.
Exactly.
But again, that's the role.
The $31 million All-Star that was the big free agent signing.
Right.
That's what they look for.
Before he shattered his ankle and before Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown made the big jump.
Right.
If they asked, here's the thing. If they asked Hayward to be the number two option behind Tatum, he could be it.
I'm not
if
sure they about asked that.
Him, oh, I'm absolutely sure about it.
I mean, you're a worse basketball team.
I didn't say that they'd be a better basketball team. I'm saying
then what you would be with your currently constituted 1 and 2. If you elevated him, I think he should do everything you're saying. You know why? Because he's a $31 million all-star who, as you put it, is a fourth option. Like, you should be efficient.
But he's not a fourth option because he wants to be. He's not a fourth option because that's what he is as a player. He's a fourth option because the Celtics are literally the only team in the NBA that has four guys that can drop 20 a night. We've been having this conversation about, oh, who's the most important Celtic? We can rattle off 4 or 5 names.
Right.
That talks about the depth of this team. The only reason he's the fourth option is because you have Tatum and Brown and Kemba. And if he wasn't on a team that was this deep, if it was just Kemba and Gordon Hayward, he'd be scoring 20-plus a night, and he'd be doing everything that people thought he was going to do when he first signed the contract. He might not be as athletic as people thought he was going to be because of the injury, but I think he's covered up for the injury. He's not afraid to go into the paint. He's not afraid to take it to the basket. We saw the dunk the other night when he went through the lane and dunked it with both hands.
Yeah, I saw that, yep.
He still shows, you know, enough aggression. I honestly, like, he checks every box. I outside of the perception of what he was before he got here and people trying to hold him up as the number one option, not understanding the current circumstances of this roster, I honestly, for the life of me, have no idea what Gordon Hayward could do more than he's done. I don't know what he could do.
Was he overrated when he got here?
No.
He was not.
No.
Because I think people thought they were getting a franchise player. What people believed.
Before his ankle was shattered, he was a top 20 player in the league. He was easily a top 20 guy. And now because he's the fourth option, he's not going to be that guy.
He's the fourth option because that's where he slots in, correct? If he were he wouldn't be the fourth option.
No, all right, so...
So no matter how good he is, and Tatum are the one and the two?
This is what I would say. Tatum, again, Tatum at his level, Tatum's a top 10 player in the league. He's better than Hayward.
Okay.
I would say Brown is similar as far as impact to a game right now as Hayward was with the Jazz. I would say that Brown is to me, a top 25 to 30 player in the league right now.
Okay.
So I would say that Brown's younger, he's more athletic, and he's at a similar grade of who Hayward was. I would say Hayward back in Utah a slight lean over Kemba as a player overall. But when you look at it currently, again, the way those guys have grown and what they've become, of course this is Tatum's team now because he has a higher ceiling. Hayward at his best is not going to be Tatum at his best. It's just not going to happen. Hayward at his best is probably, if not the same, a little bit better than Brown because, again, he can facilitate the offense much better than Brown can. By the way, great pass by Brown last night to Hayward. Oh, my God. Unbelievable bounce pass. But, you know, when you look at Hayward, he was a top 25 guy before he got hurt. He's now on a team where he's the number 4 option. If he went to any other team who had, you know, one big horse and he was that second guy, he would be averaging 20 to 25 points a night, 5 to 7 rebounds, 5 to 7 assists, somewhere around there, maybe 4 to 6 assists, whatever it is. But that's the kind of guy while playing some pretty good defense. So I don't get it. I don't get the Hayward hate, because there's literally, from a basketball standpoint, I don't know, given the role this guy has and what they're asking of him, I have no earthly idea what he could do better for them. And if you're not happy with him, I don't know what to say to you, because he's literally defending, he's literally facilitating, and he's literally scoring the way he is supposed to be doing all of those things at this current time and with this roster. Like, it's not on him. He doesn't have the opportunity to take 20 shots a night. That's not on him. It's actually a great thing to have. It's an embarrassment of riches. You've got four guys on this team that can score the ball at any moment. So see, I don't hold that against them.
See, I think what you're arguing then is, if you're accurate in your assessment, I think fans overrated him. I know you believe you are. First of all, I got to defend Christian in 1 second, but first I want to make this point. Like, if you're at people may not have known, because he played in the West, right? He was a West All-Star, but when you play in the West, people like me go to bed at 9:30, don't watch you play ever, see a few highlights, whatever. So you don't really know. You just see Celtics sign All-Star Gordon Hayward, $31 million a year, max deal, blah.
Right.
Well, they got a franchise player, biggest signing in franchise history, blah, 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 blah. And forget the injury aside, it sounds to me like you believe he was miscast in that role, because a franchise player is more Tatum. That's top 10. Everybody in the NBA is top 20. I love NBA fans who go, he's a top 20 player. And you ask him, okay, give me your top 20. And then they have like 30 guys in their top 20, because there's like Mike Mayock ties 10 guys for the final spot.
All right. We got to continue this conversation. We'll continue.
I love your Hayward defense, because I think in general, most people don't love him. They are either okay, he is what he is now, or they're like, he's a disappointment. I think the minority are people that passionately defend Gordon Hayward, and I think he needs that. I just don't necessarily agree with it.
Well, you're wrong.
I left him blinking. He just gave me blink, 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 blink. No, of course, he couldn't talk for a second because his Celtics t-shirt got stuck on his chin while he was covering it to be socially distant.
That's right. I'm a homer.
Celtics.
This is the green teamer music for Nick.
I'm a green teamer.
Greg Dickerson just texted in. He says, dial it back a bit. You're being a little
over
the top.
Somebody tell me what I said that was factually wrong during that entire thing. I'm waiting. I'll wait.
I will too, because you took a little bit of a, I don't know if cheap shot's the word, but I need to defend Christian Fourier and his take about softness and your defense of that take.
A cheap shot.
Yeah, you played low-hanging fruit. Low-hanging fruit.
Soft.
I don't think
as puppy poo.
All right, Eamon's telling me we got to pay some bills.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You learn quickly and remember what you learned. With Babbel, you can speak a new language. Babbel, language for life. Now try Babbel for free. Just go to babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's babbel.com, BABBEL.com.
Saturday calls for more sports talk, and we got it for you right here. Back to Hart and Cattles on EEI.
Fourier say that he's not impressed by Hayward this week. calling him soft, calling him weak. You're done with Hayward. I'm sick and tired of people treating this guy like the redheaded stepchild of this team. I'm not even going to get into the idea of the role. We all know his role is different now than what he was brought in to do.
Yes.
He's the fourth option on this team. And you know what he is? He's ridiculously efficient as that fourth option. Tell me what I said that was factually wrong during that entire thing. I'm waiting. I'll wait. I will too,
because you took a little bit of a, I don't know if cheap shot's the word, but I need to defend Christian Fourier and his take about softness and your defense
shot.
Of that take.
A cheap shot.
Yeah, you played.
I don't think I gave
him low-hanging fruit. Low-hanging fruit.
Soft.
The text line at 37937, of course, people coming at me. That's fine. You can come at me all day long and tell me I'm wrong about Hayward and how, you know, I'm pumping this team and that, you know, Stevens and Ainge are not making Hayward the fourth option, that he was overrated.
Yep.
I'll kind of simply state this. It's rather simple to me. I understand people get like all, you know, defensive and emotional, and they stand by their takes, and they just don't like Hayward. Fine, you don't like Hayward. I'll stand by everything that I said, because as you just heard, as I said last segment, tell me one thing that I was factually wrong about. I told you statistically what this guy does as the fourth option on this team. I told you he's the fourth option on this team because Jaylen and Jason Tatum took huge leaps, which is good news, by the way. I said that before he joined the Celtics when he was in Utah, he was a top 25 player. I think you can ask any basketball analyst, any former player, anybody from TNT or ESPN, and they would agree with that, that he was a top 25 guy when he was in Utah. I said that he's doing as much as he can do as the fourth guy on this team, that he's not going to take shots away from Tatum. He's not going to take shots away from Brown. He's not going to take shots away from Kemba. And, you know, I get some feedback on the text line, 37937.
Always good to follow the text line and really take credence in whatever they say. Just
no,
so.
No, I'm good. I go back and forth with them. I'm fine.
I love the text line.
Yeah, I don't get angry. I go back and forth. We can agree to disagree. You know, if you want to take personal shots, then that's probably a little bit different. But you know, if we're just talking basketball, I'm fine with it, man. That's the name of the game. The reason why I have a career in radio is because, you know, the interaction with people. But, you know, people saying, oh, you're pumping the tires and the Celtics are great. I get it. It's so funny to me. It's entertaining to me that when you actually compliment a local team, immediately there's a group of people going, oh, honk, honk. Like, if this team, if they played awful last night, bet your ass I would have been on this show. Sound the horn, baby. If they played awful last night, you can bet your ass that I would have been on this station this morning with Andy crushing them, as I did after they had the inexcusable loss to Miami without Jimmy Butler earlier this week on Late Night. You can check it. You won't. That's fine. So
he's right. I won't.
Neither will I.
Listen, I have reasonable expectations. The fact is that this basketball team, Vegas will tell you, is seen as one of the top 4 to 5 teams in the NBA. I'm not going to sit here and urinate all over a basketball team that is seen as a top 5 team in the league that absolutely dismantled and tore apart the Raptors, who had played the best basketball in the bubble across the league last night. They bent the Raptors over their knee and they slapped their ass until Kyle Lowry and Nick Nurse and everybody else went home crying. That's what they did. I mean, if I can't compliment them on last night, then what am I doing here? What's the point? We've got to call it what we see. You know, I see the Red Sox pitching staff. It sucks. I call it the way I see it. So I just, you know, the one thing that I just don't understand fundamentally is the like desire to always crap on the team, or when somebody is actually complimenting somebody, it's all of a sudden you're a joke. There's not, like, no, it's it again. I asked the question before I get to Andy, because Andy wants to defend Christian Fourier, and I stand by. I didn't take a shot at him
a little bit.
No, you know, if people want to argue with me, that's fine. I'll take the argument. But tell me what I said last segment that was wrong. Tell me what I said about Gordon Hayward, the current player on this current roster. Tell me what I said wrong.
So give me a yes or no answer. I want nothing more. This is the court of law. Everything else will be stricken from the record.
Word.
The Celtics have four top 25 players.
No.
Yet their fourth option is a top 25 player.
No, he was a top 25.
Oh, I thought I said yes or no answers. Your Honor, strike that from the record.
You're not going to play that game. I said he was a top 25 player. I said he was a top 25 player when he was in Utah.
But he's the fourth option now. The point now is, I know we got a tight segment here because I have a lot going on in my head, a lot to respond to. I have another great car analogy, and I am damn well using it next segment. There is a car analogy coming that's better than last week's car analogy for Stidham and Newton.
People liked it, though. People like that analogy.
People understand cars because everybody has a car. Everybody needs a car, and everybody's had to buy a car or sell a car or trade a car. So it works.
Well, is this car analogy you speak of?
There was a great one last week, and there's another one coming soon.
So great,
we don't have time
it,
to
right?
get into that one, though.
No, this one's coming. More importantly,
okay,
when Christian Fourier said he's soft as puppy poo, which is the softest kind of dog poo there is, apparently,
yes,
you said, quote, he came back from a hellacious ankle injury. They're not the same thing. Christian Fourier is talking about the guy on the court and his style of play. He's not talking about work ethic to come back from a major injury or fighting through what he had to fight through. And we all saw all the videos and all that. Because I do think that's a common thing. It's like, I've heard it before. You know, so
I was more talking about, to defend myself, I was more talking about he called him weak.
Right. But he's talking about basketball weak. He's not talking about real world weak. He's talking about within the confines of the game.
But don't you think they're linked? But don't you think
they're linked? No, not really. It's because it's always bothered me, and I may get in trouble here. I don't really care. People have always said, like, John Lester came back from cancer, right? Oh, you can never question that guy's toughness on the mound. Well, those aren't the same things.
That's true.
Like, was he supposed to just lay down and say, you know what, cancer, my time has come, take me away? I think, in general, most people, when they have a major injury or they have an illness, they fight it, right? We have this survival instinct, fight or flight, and we fight it.
You don't want to die. I
can
confirm
that. That doesn't mean with runners on second and third and a 3-1 count, right? Yes. Those things are not tied together.
Right.
Just like Gordon Hayward didn't say, well, he looked down, it's pointing in the wrong direction. Guess I'm never walking again. I'm going to go lay on the couch for a while, right? Like, you have this instinct to recover and to fight back.
That's
doesn't mean
fair.
He still goes to the basket with the same. Now, you can question it, but that doesn't mean he still goes to the basket with the same aggression he did pre-injury, or he fights through a screen the same way he did, and, you know, whatever, on the court. So those are two different things, and that's where I wanted to question your
that's
Fourier.
Fair that's more than fair enough.
Yeah, I got him to admit he was wrong.
Yes,
that was easy.
Victory is mine.
I'm not above saying that I was wrong about something. Talking about the ankle in correlation with, you know, being weak and soft on the floor as a player, you're right about that. I would disagree with the notion that he's weak. You know, people look at I guess maybe it's because Christian was, you know, a football player. He played at the NFL level, and he wants guys to be blowing smoke out their nose and all that kind of stuff. And I don't think that he's soft. You know, I think you look at his style of play. It's not you know, as fiery as Marcus Smart. It's not, you know, balls to the wall for 48 minutes nonstop. But he has his style of basketball. I'm trying to figure out the word that I want to use. Whether it's, I don't know if I want to say smooth, that's not the right word, but he plays at his pace.
Yes.
And so what I would say is, you know, you have to
finesse.
Finesse.
How about nuance?
Finesse.
There you go. That's the word.
He likes finesse. Two for two, and he's kicking ass today, baby. 11 o'clock hour.
Listen, he's never been a guy that's going to say, all right, you know, he'll take it to the basket and he'll go after a big guy down low. Again, he did it the other night when he drove through the paint and he dunked on the, I don't know which game it was, but he dunked on pretty much the entire team. He has those moments.
But he's not going to scream and mean mug afterwards.
But the reason why I say that, you know, there's a link between the finesse, especially right now with the ankle, is because, listen, what happened to that dude, it takes a while to get over that, right? And there's going to be moments. There's going to be moments. There's going to be stretches where, yeah, he's going to look at a scenario play out, and he's not sure if he wants to leap with his body into it because
he's not sure how his body's going to react to it. But there are also moments, let's not paint it like that's the only thing that you see from him. There are also those moments where he does attack the rim, where he does take it, you know, one-on-one against somebody, when he does defend hard. I mean, he's a very good defender. It's tough for me to call somebody soft when they can defend on the ball like Hayward does. Like, I've seen him block shots one-on-one against really good players, guys that are bigger than him. You're not soft when you do those kinds of things. So I think Christian has put Gordon Hayward in a box, which a lot of people have. You said it last segment. They put him in the box, and that's who he is.
Yes.
I think that's unfair. I think he's a dynamic kind of character. When I'm talking about as far as like if you write TV or movies, a dynamic character, somebody who has different elements about him. He's not just this guy or that guy. I don't think he's soft because, again, defensively, he doesn't play soft. I don't think that he can't score because when he has the opportunity, when he's asked to be the second guy on the floor, when Tatum's off, Kemba's off, you know, Stevens likes to play at least two of those guys at the same time. When he's out there and he's one of the two guys, he's going to take shots. He's going to be more aggressive. It's just crazy to me because the same people that complain and argue about, oh, this guy might not be a team player, this guy's selfish. We look at Cam and stuff. Some people say, oh, he's selfish. He's all about himself. But yet we have a player with the Celtics who is not selfish, does everything that the team asks of him, and, you know, is still going to get crapped on because, I don't know, he's soft, he's weak, he's the fourth option. I'll go back to what I've said from the very beginning. If Tatum wasn't on this team, Hayward would take more shots. If Brown wasn't on this team, he'd take more shots. If Kemba wasn't on the team, he'd take more shots.
If he was better, he'd take more shots.
No, I disagree. Well, if he was better than the guys that are on the floor, right. That's the nuance that people are missing. I'm not, if he was better than Tatum, he would take the shots. If he was better than Brown, he would take. At this point in his career, after the injury, he's not better than those guys. He's not. You know, you could argue maybe Kemba, but I don't think he's better than Kemba. So I think this is a very unusual situation that the Celtics have. It's not me kissing their ass. Again, factually, I'm telling you, they're the only team in the NBA that has four guys that can average 20 points. They're the only team. That's not kissing ass. That's not being a honk. That is a fact. They're the only team that has that. So with this current roster, he's not going to go out there and take 15, 20 shots. And as a matter of fact, when he gets hot and he gets going and Tatum and Brown acquiesce and they actually give him the basketball, we've seen him go off. We've seen him score 35. We've seen him score 40 because in those particular nights, Tatum and Brown make a concerted effort to get Hayward the basketball. 98% of the time, that relationship is going to be flipped because Hayward is asked to facilitate. Hayward is the guy that knows Stevens' offense better than anybody on that team. So it's his role to facilitate the offense. But when he's got it cooking and those other guys are willing to give him the ball, he's dropping 30. But we tend to forget those.
So he's a $31 million role player. We've come to the conclusion.
617-779. He was not signed as a role player.
No, but 617, that's what he is.
617-779. Embarrassment or riches? 7937. And you can also text at 37937. You can follow Andy at Jumbo Hart on Twitter. You can follow me at Nick C Radio. A lot more to come. Hart and Cattle Sports Radio, WEEI.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.